This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Two balls and a strike, the pitch. And Kim hits it in the air to left center field. Blanco back into the gap on the run. Not going to get there. Going to end up around the base of the wall and going to clear the bases. Kim stops at second. All three come in to score. A bases clearing double for Ha-Sung Kim. And the Padres are back in front. It's 5-3.
Hey, what's happening in San Diego? And welcome into Gwen and Chris. Very happy Monday to you. I know you're out there. You're always disgruntled on a Monday. Don't be disgruntled on a Monday. Mondays are 1/7 of your life. You might as well enjoy them to the fullest. And we'll do that on this program today, hanging out with you between now and about 5:30 this afternoon, getting you ready for Padres baseball up in Anaheim. This evening, the Padres will take on the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. As Gwynn and Chris gets underway, Tony Gwynn Jr. is on his way to the ballpark in Anaheim. So he will be joining us as soon as he arrives in the press box. But we've got a few things to wrap up from the weekend. You heard Ha-Sung Kim's bases loaded. Was that a triple? For Ha-Sung?
No, that was a double. He did have a triple this
weekend. Yes, he had a triple as well. All part of a successful weekend for the San Diego Padres. But I wanted to just, before I go too much further, I wanted to put out a disclaimer. The following statement, the following opinion, the following take has not yet been approved by Padres manager Mike Schilt.
Oh, no.
Here we go.
You really are feasting off of that.
Sorry?
I said you're feasting off of the Padres.
Yes, this is not.
Mike
it's just not been okayed by Mike Schilt, but here goes anyway. The Padres roller coaster of a season continued yesterday when they blew a ninth inning two-run lead and lost to Kansas City 4-3. That kept the team from pulling off its first sweep of the season. Nevertheless, the manager of the Padres, quite pleased to have taken 2 out of 3. And so the happy sunny side of the street team moves on now to Anaheim. Here's the thing. This has nothing to do with the team and its record right now. The 32-30, I'm okay with that. Based on what they had to part with in the offseason, the kind of money they had to cut from payroll, the season is going along okay. I really have had trouble, though, shaking off the effects of Mike Schilt's press conference last week, the one in which he found issue with a question about whether or not this was a roller coaster season or whether or not the team had hit a rough patch, and his whole delight that he feels we should be focusing on more than anything else is the fact that they have now won 8 of 10 series, taking 2 of 3 from the Royals. And that should make everything perfect. And I just don't think we have to accept that. I don't think it's fair that we, first of all, in the media, should not be able to ask questions that I think a lot of people are thinking, and that is, when is this team going to put together a really big hot streak, sweep a series, win 5 or 6 in a row? And I don't think that we should be, I don't think that AJ Cassavell in specific should have to basically be called out by the skipper for having an opinion that the skipper didn't agree with. I'll give you another one that hasn't been okayed by Mike Shildt. The Padres sweep the Kansas City Royals if Mike Shildt doesn't use Robert Suarez in a non-save situation Saturday night to protect the four-run lead when he could have used Wandy Peralta to finish that game. Chose to make sure that he got game on Saturday night, but in doing so, that left Suarez unavailable yesterday. We know what happened. Now, that isn't necessarily on Mike Shildt. It's on Yuki Matsui. This guy's making how much money did the Padres dole out to this
Matsui?
Guy? Yeah.
I don't think too much.
Oh, quite a bit.
Really?
Yeah. They signed him as a free agent. It was a big signing in the offseason. It was about as big as any the Padres made.
He's making $3 million.
Matsui?
He's making $3.25 million. He does make more money as the contract goes along, but this...
What's the total entire contract?
The total is 5 years, 28.
$28 million bucks.
So he's making $3.25 this year.
Well, he's making $28 million bucks to protect a two-run lead. He ought to be able to do it.
Yes.
And he didn't. And so that's the ultimate blame. But is it totally unfair of me as a fan, as a media member who covers the team, to second guess the decision of using Robert Suarez when you've got the game well in hand, a four-run lead, pretty comfortable? You pitch Wandy Peralta there, you're telling me you don't think he can protect the four-run lead? And if he does, then Suarez is available.
Wait,
yesterday.
We talk about Wandy Peralta, we can't keep going back and forth. Because you're telling me they go to Kansas City and beat a really good Reds team, Royals team, and a really good Royals team at home. They take 2 of 3, and we're finding fault with his press conference last week?
Yeah, we
That's
are.
That's crazy.
We are. We
what
are.
What are we doing?
We are because this is exactly where this team is right now. We're satisfied with 2 out of 3, and we're not allowed to be upset that they didn't sweep.
I don't
and
think
I
anybody
think
said you
that's
could
absurd.
Be upset,
well,
but
fine,
Mike Shildt
fine,
has to be
fine.
In this mindset.
Then color me upset that they didn't sweep.
Okay, that's fine.
They should have.
They
should have swept
right.
the series.
You're
they
right.
didn't. They could have in many different ways. And the fact of the matter is the Padres want to make sure that we think everything is rosy and rolling along perfectly because they won 2 out of 3. And the fact of the matter is they should have swept this series.
But
we're not allowed to be upset about it. And we should be upset if I was the fan of another team that blew a save.
I thought this was okay, if we're gonna blame
you
anyone
so
for this weekend.
You are content just like you've been programmed by this team to be content.
Programmed?
Yes.
You're saying
that's
that
the message from this team.
They're putting
just
you in a
be
cult?
Just be happy when we win 2 out of 3, and you are happy.
I'm going
and
yeah.
I'm not.
Do I want them to win 3 in a row? Yes, of course I do. Do I care that they didn't? It doesn't. In the scheme of things, it doesn't matter, Chris.
It really doesn't matter.
If we're going to blame someone.
What if they end up missing the playoffs by one game this year? Maybe that was the game.
It could be another game later on down the year. If we're going to blame
anyone,
this argument is weak. Steven Kolek. Because he has shown this month of May that he cannot pitch right now at the major league level. If they have to bring in Suarez on Friday night to warm him up and do all that stuff for one out, I would have liked them to go with another pitcher at that point.
Well, at that point, it was a save situation. Suarez needed to get one of those two guys out to save the game. He didn't get the first guy. The second guy hit the ball to the warning track, and he was lucky to get him.
I agree with that, but baseball, you know what they say, Chris? That's baseball.
Well, you know, that's now your go-to fallback anytime
Chris.
I whip your ass in an argument.
Oh,
that's your fallback now. That's
that
baseball.
They lost
the game yesterday, so that's baseball.
We're going to.
We don't care then.
You're going to complain about something that happened last Wednesday when they just won 2 out of 3 against a good team who's like 21-10 or 22-10 at home this year?
I'm ecstatic.
I don't know what we're...
Tra-la-la-la-la-la. The Padres rolled along this weekend.
Here.
It was a great weekend then. It was a fantastic weekend in every way, shape, or form.
Guess what? they did gain ground. Maybe over time it's going to have to show, but they did gain ground. They did lose
ground. The next time they get swept and they go right back to 500, I don't want to hear everybody whining about the fact that this team can't be consistent. When they need to, when they're rolling along, when they have the game in hand, that was a victory yesterday that they let get away, and that's too bad. And I think if they don't use Suarez in a non-safe situation when there's no need to do it, had something to do with it. You basically went into yesterday's game. You're the manager of the team. You're telling me that you're responsible for everything. You're responsible for everything and the setup of everything. You managed to box yourself into a corner yesterday with no Robert Suarez, no Wandy Peralta, and no Jeremiah Estrada. You couldn't use any of them because of the way you managed the first two games of the series. You basically got what you deserved, which is a blown lead in the late innings. I can't believe
I'm losing my mind over here.
I'm not surprised that you're arguing with me.
Well, Chris, Mondays aren't 1/7 of your life. You should enjoy them.
I'm having a good Monday. I didn't have a good Sunday afternoon.
I didn't really. We had a great 45 minutes in the back studio just hanging out, talking. I didn't realize that you were going to be so upset with the team when we cracked the airwaves.
Not upset with the team. Told you at the very beginning. Not upset with the team, not upset with the record, not upset where they are.
They went 5-2 last week.
Yes, they've done a great job overall. They're doing a nice thing on the surface. I don't like being told that I'm not allowed to be happy or unhappy if they don't sweep. I'm not. I don't like it.
I don't think anybody's telling you can't be unhappy.
I'm pretty sure that's what Mike Schilt said last week. We are not allowed to.
I don't want you thinking
of the fact that we have won 7-9 series. That is his quote.
I want.
And it's
so
now
badly,
8 out of 10. So I'm sure he's ecstatic even more.
I want so badly to.
As long as you're happy with 2 out of 3, if you're happy with 2 out of 3, you may never get a sweep. If, at some point, you have to demand a sweep.
Joseph says, this is Chris happy. I'm scared to see when Chris is mad.
Okay. You guys, you know what? If you're not...
No, there are people that agree with you, Chris.
If you're not getting the point here, the point has nothing to do with their record. The point has nothing to do with what they've accomplished to this point, where they are in the standings, what they've overcome, what they've had to deal with, the fact that they've done all this without basically anything from Manny or Fernando. Now they've got Darvish and Musgrove on the injured list. It has everything to do with the fact that I believe the Padres' message to us, led by their skipper, is be happy because we won 2 out of 3, and you don't have the right to be mad that we didn't sweep. And I think I have every right to be mad.
Everything that you say is correct in my mind, except for the part where you say you don't have a right to be mad. He never told you not to be mad. He just said, hey, this is how I look at it. I look at it like this. We won 8 out of the last 10 series.
I'm pretty sure that he said, I'm going to take exception to what you said.
He took exception.
Yeah, he did. He took exception.
He did.
He took exception to the notion that the writer had the audacity to question why you didn't get the sweep.
I'm not sure we're
I'm pretty sure that's what was said.
Usually, Chris, I can get on board with what you're saying, but I cannot.
Well, don't.
We don't have the same view on this. And let me give you this, Chris. Someone said, I'm with Ello. Tired of the mediocrity San Diego has become accustomed to. So there are people out there that are definitely...
I don't care whether they are or aren't. I don't say things to get people to agree or not agree with me. I'm just giving you my point here, which is we just had another weekend where we're supposed to come into work on Monday and click our heels because we are ecstatic that we won another series. And I'm here to tell you that there should be a little bit of frustration to go along with it because they had a lead in the third game. And because of the way the weekend was managed and run and put together, they were unable in part because of that, unable to hold a lead and unable to complete what would have been their first sweep of the season. Now, if they had 2 or 3 sweeps already, I'd be more inclined to let one go. But the fact of the matter is, they didn't get it when they should have got it. And we should have the right to be frustrated and upset about that. But you are, I'm so glad you're saying everything you're saying, because you are indeed the perfect shill for the Padres. Because this is what they are begging you to believe in.
Everybody's right. If Tony was here, you wouldn't be arguing with me like this.
I don't have a choice. He's not here.
Yeah, because you told me, I don't believe either of us are wrong in this situation, but you told me I was wrong. Like, there's no being wrong in this situation, Chris. No one can tell you you don't have the right to be mad after a 2 out of 3 weekend. You don't have the right to tell me to be happy out of a 2 out of 3 weekend. Boom.
Fine. Be happy. You go on.
I'm very uncomfortable. That's why I'm laughing right now.
You go on your merry little way to Anaheim.
Very uncomfortable.
You go on your merry little way to Anaheim, where we're not going to try to win all 3 games. We're just going to try to win 2 of them.
They are going to try.
And be happy.
It's a blown save. It happens.
Padres are making national news right now, all of the wrong kind.
I agree with that.
We will explain when we come back. There's plenty to come on the show. Matt Snyder from CBS Sports will join us to talk some baseball. We'll get into some Padres pen pals. Tony will be with us. I will bring this up in Tony's presence.
I will make sure it
for
happens.
Those of you who feel like I won't. We'll see what he says. I have a pretty good guess as to what he will say.
Tony and I are going to be best friends today.
I'm pretty sure you will be.
It's a marathon, not a sprint, Chris. I've heard that from your mouth many times.
It is, but it's all part of the race. It's all part of the race. Eventually, you got to sweep somebody. And I'm not going to be happy until we get at least one.
No, I'm taking strays that I'm not a real one. And why everybody... I got you, Chris.
Stop worrying about what the chat says. Enjoy yourself on the program. We are underway. Tony should be here soon to try to straighten this all out. Matt Snyder at the bottom of the hour. But why are the Padres in the nation's crosshairs right now? If you didn't see it, we'll explain it when we return. Gwen and Chris for a happy Monday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Padres and Angels coming up tonight, first of a 3-game series. Padres don't win, no big deal. As long as they get 2 out of 3, Scraby, Schilt, and the rest of you, apparently will be happy. 223 is the time.
And I hate that you're lumping me in. I want to say this.
Lumping you in, baby.
I want to say this.
I hate that. I hope they don't ever lose two out of three in a series, because
that's what I was going to say, Chris.
That can be an issue here.
To win two out of three in Anaheim.
Pretty much got to.
That's a failure.
Pretty much got to do two out of three every series.
Yes, but this is definitely. I think the Angels are 21-38. They're not a good team. This is a team the Padres should be able to sweep.
Yes, but they shouldn't be. They haven't swept anyone, and there's a couple of problems that they have in this Angels series that have not gone away. Number one, they haven't played great against losing teams. But number two, they really still haven't got it cracking against left-handed starting pitching yet. I know they've won a couple of games against left-handed starting pitching, but in most of those, it's because their pitcher has dominated. Once again, they came up with very little yesterday against a lefty starting pitcher, whereas on Friday and Saturday, hits galore against the two right-handed starters for Kansas City. They got a lefty tonight, Tyler Anderson. So I wouldn't expect much offense. I will say this, Manny and Fernando Moore woke up at least a little bit this weekend. Yeah, I was really happy to see that.
Got three hits on Saturday.
And hitting some line drives and driving in a run yesterday.
Home run.
For the lead in the ninth inning. You know, good to see Fernando. Manny's still slumbering. No home runs since Luis Arraez got here. That's got to change. I haven't heard an update on Luis Arraez, by the way.
Although in the paper today,
they seem to think that he was fine and would play tonight. And
so I read, too.
There will be nothing further having to do with his shoulder.
I'm waiting for it.
But we'll get the lineup to make sure that he's okay. Matt Waldron, the new ace of the Padres staff, will start tonight for San Diego. Tony Gwynn Jr. is either en route they're having all kinds of problems, from what I understand, with the Wi-Fi. In the entire city of Anaheim. It wasn't working at the hotel.
We were trying there.
It's not working in the taxi cab. It's not working at the stadium. Yeah. Dave Marcus can't get hooked up.
Yeah.
So, who knows?
It's not because Chris went crazy in the first. He didn't go crazy. It's not because of Chris's first segment.
I didn't go crazy. I just made a point that you didn't agree with. That's it. That's pretty much it.
You missed the calling as being a prosecutor or something, because you are very good at
building my case.
Yes, you were very good at that. I will say that.
All right, I'm going to get a couple of phone calls in here, but I did mention that the Padres are in the national crosshairs right now. That is because if you look on ESPN.com or anywhere else, the top headline of the entire website right now is Padres Marcano faces ban for betting on baseball. That's Padres infielder Tucapita Marcano. Now, he has been hurt and out all year, so we're not necessarily connected with him. He was with the Pirates last year, and apparently this is all about him allegedly betting on the Pirates while he was hurt last year. But unfortunately, the Padres are getting dragged into this because he's now a Padre.
I don't get why. It's clear in the story that he did this while he was with the Pirates, but the Padres just...
It's all Padres
It's all Padres.
Padres, Padres, Padres.
I got a text from someone. So your team's doing it too. Like, no.
We're cheating. Yeah. So anyway, Marcano is facing a potential lifetime ban.
I mean, that's bad.
For betting on baseball. Sources have confirmed this. It's not looking good for Tucapita Marcano right now. If you were among those waiting for him to return and give the Padres a lift in the second half of the season, I don't imagine too many of us were really thinking along those lines. But if you were, stop thinking about it, because it doesn't look like he's coming back anytime soon, if ever again.
Yeah. I mean, that's just one of the most avoidable things in the world.
It's so stupid. You know,
bet on your own team.
And these guys all think they can get away with it now, and they can't.
Maybe there are
some that are getting away with it, but
I'm sure there are.
It's a shame that you're betting on this stuff at all. All right, let me get a couple of phone calls. I think one's on each side of this argument. If you just tuned in, the question before the court is this. Should we just continue to be happy with two out of three like the Padres want us to be? Or should we have the right to be angry that they didn't sweep a series this weekend? Let's see what Josh and Ramona has to say. Hi, Josh.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Very good.
Pretty good.
Very good.
Thanks for calling,
Josh. What's up, buddy?
Good. Glad to hear it. So I'm a little bit on both sides. I would have to say I think we should be happy with where we're at, given some of the poor performances from the Stars and some of the starting pitching injuries. Because if we don't didn't forget, Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove both just got off the IL and then went right back to the IL after a couple starts.
True.
With that being said, I think you're being a little bit harsh on Scraby. I think it's a little bit less of the mismanagement of the bullpen and a little bit more of them just not performing.
Okay.
And
very well put.
One thing I just wanted to ask your guys' opinion on, something that I noticed, and I'm not sure if you guys have picked up on it too. Do we mismanage our defensive positioning in the outfield especially? Because if I notice correctly, I'm pretty sure that Velasquez guy hit a on Friday he hit to deep left center.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and that was the warning track out,
and
then that triple that
yesterday.
He hit same exact spot. And I see that a lot with our team where we give up a lot of extra base hits. That kind of like it looks like our guys are kind of just trying to cover so much ground every single time they're trying to make a play in the outfield. Hmm. Whereas opposed to us, when we're hitting into the outfield, guys are kind of just right in the exact spot.
Let me ask Tony, because he looks at all this stuff and he played major league outfield, and I'll get his thoughts on it. But I will tell you this, Josh.
Why did you say his name like that?
I don't know. I'll tell you this, Josh. And again, you know, I hope it's okay to question something. I hope, you know, they don't mind. But to me, with runners at first and second, and the tying run being at first base, which was the case last night, the outfielders, in general, should be in a no-doubles position, which means they should all be a few steps deeper. You don't want a double there. Why? Because you don't want the tying run to be able to score from first base. Now, I don't think Merrill could have got to that ball no matter what. He would have had to basically been standing on the warning track when it was hit.
Yeah.
But he also seemed to be playing a little shallower than I would have liked there.
He's also only 60 games in, basically, to
Well, that's not his fault. That's on them to position him correctly.
True, true.
And that's what Josh is bringing up. Thanks, Josh.
We'll have to ask Tony for sure.
We'll ask Tony about those things. But I didn't know that Merrill was playing deep enough on that play. I don't know that he could have caught the ball regardless. But in a no-doubles defense, you're playing much deeper to prevent balls from going over your head and allowing exactly what happened to happen. And that is a hit to tie the game. John, welcome to the show. Got a couple of seconds left here in this segment. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey,
good.
First of all, real quick, I've been watching the Padres since they came into the league in 1969, so I've been around a long time.
Okay.
And actually, Chris, I disagree with you because this isn't acceptable at all. I mean, I sat there last week driving down the road yelling at my radio, listening to Schilt five times in that press conference say, we won five straight series. Well, yeah, you won five straight series. You were still two games under 500. Now, we won 8 out of 10. Well, you're two games over. Great. That's not acceptable. Not when you got guys you're paying big money to, and they're not doing a thing, you know? I mean, if you're happy with, you know, the old San Diego just media, oh, we play 500, we're happy. We're two games over 500, we're happy. Not me. I want to see them 8, 9, 10 games over, okay? It's not acceptable to play at this level.
John, whatever happened to waiting until the end of the season? Because they can easily be 15 games over 500 at the end of the season. I mean, right now they've only played 60-something games.
Right, Scraby, we did that last year. Last year was only April. It's only May. It's only June.
I get it.
Then we get to the end of the year, and we win, what, 14 out of 19 against four teams that lost a combined 400 games. At the end of the year, we had that run beat a bunch of nobodies.
I hate I'm not saying that about you, John, but I dislike that stat about the end of the year. They still won the games, okay? They still won the games. But, John, you aren't alone. That was a good call. I'm not disagreeing.
He's not alone, number one. Number two, there's a lot of people who agree with him that the Padres won a bunch of games last year after it didn't matter. I don't know how you can argue that. Why don't you like
that
take?
Because it did matter because they still had a shot at the playoffs until like four games left in the season.
It was too little too late.
It was, but still.
That's the facts.
If they were in the playoffs last year, what would these people be arguing about?
But they weren't in the playoffs. Their run at the end came too little too late. I don't think that that's even arguable.
I don't think John is bad in his takes because, you know, he felt what we all felt last year. I think this team is a lot different than last year's team.
I hope so.
All right, we got to go break.
Last year's team didn't sweep anybody either.
Until the finals.
One of the things the two teams do seem to have in common.
Oh, no.
We'll take a break. Matt Snyder from CBS Sports joins us. Hopefully Tony will be able to get through. If not, we'll forge on without him on 97.3 The Fan. Hey, coming up on the program, I'm going to let you know about some tickets that we're going to give away. This read is a little boxed up here, I got to tell you, Scrabe.
Which one?
Well, I thought we were going to be giving some tickets away to the fair, but...
We are. It's in...
That's a different read.
It's for Chris versus the Fans.
I see.
Yes.
So right now I'm just mentioning the fact that this hour is brought to you by the fair.
Yes.
The San Diego County Fair.
Correct.
Where they're going to go retro. Opening June 12th, the Magic of the Midway live concerts feature the Kings of Late Night, Jay Leno, Craig Ferguson, who I think's funny, and Arsenio Hall. Woo, woo, woo. All performing live June 21st, day before my birthday. Get your tickets now at sdfair.com. Let's go retro. Welcome back, Crisello. Tony Gwynn Jr. still trying to figure out a way to get on the air. Not his fault.
No.
Weak internet.
What would we
weak
do?
Weak Wi-Fi in Anaheim, California.
Very Anaheim.
Killing
Very
us.
Very Anaheim.
So we're left to interview our friend Matt Snyder from CBS Sports. Without TG today, but I must say, it's always a great pleasure to have Matt Snyder on. I think he's one of the most knowledgeable, but also one of the most enjoyable guys to talk baseball with. And he's nice enough to join us throughout the season. Matt, how are you today, sir?
Well, I'm a lot better now after that just very flattering intro.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Matt, I don't know. I'll start with this. I mean, the Padres are getting in the they're in the crosshairs. All of a sudden, this betting thing comes up again. The Padres' fault. Tuca Pietermarcano, apparently in Pittsburgh last year. I know nobody really likes to talk about this. The thing is that worries me is it's kind of happening a little bit too much for my comfort level. You know, I mean, you have Fletcher with the Angels. You know, Pete Rose is way back when, but Otani's story, not that he was involved, but again, it still had gambling implications. And again, baseball, just like the rest of the big sports, you know, has all of these betting websites, you know, representing, yeah, et cetera. So when do people get a little worried about this, or should they be worried now?
Well, I think it's interesting. I interviewed one of the Major League Baseball executives who's in charge of the gambling operation, and he said we always stay worried, like just to make sure that they're staying on top of it. And I think that has to be kind of the mindset from that point of view. But like a fan point of view, honestly, for me, not really yet. Look, David Fletcher's in the minors. This case is a player was injured, although it is, you know, he bet on his own team. Hopefully at least bet on him to win. But he was injured. So it's not like we still haven't had a game-fixing type thing. I mean, with Otani's interpreter, it was not even on baseball at all. And have the rules in place that you're not allowed to bet on baseball at all at any level, or softball at any level. It's no diamond sports is the rule. So here's my hope, and some people have already called me naive on this, and that's okay. I don't care. But again, call me naive.
We just call you fun to talk to, so don't worry about us.
I'll take that. My thought is between Fletcher and in this case that we just saw today, if any players are doing anything or thinking about doing anything, they'll see that and say, look, this is a 24-year-old who's going to be banned for baseball for life. This is just not worth it. And they have access to a lot more riches playing in the game than they would be gambling and trying to win money betting on games. So that's my hope upon hopes, is that anybody who's thinking about doing it would realize that the downside far, far, far outweighs the upside. Now, obviously, people get caught up in things. There's addiction problems that are going to happen. We're going to hit some potholes here on the road. But it's, for me, similar to when we started testing for PEDs. When a player gets busted for PEDs, it doesn't mean the sky is falling. It means the system's working. And it appears that we're catching guys who are doing stuff.
Interesting. I've never heard it put that way, but that's a good way to put it. We're talking to Matt Snyder here of CBSSports.com, and I'm going to bring it back a little bit local, and the Padres over the weekend had a chance to sweep the Royals. They did not. Yuki Matsui blew the same there yesterday, so they end up taking 2 out of 3. Now, I don't know how much nationally people heard about Mike Schilt and saying that, you know, taking series is very important, and they're doing a good job of taking series. So what is your philosophy? Do you think there's anything behind that, that if you just win series, you'll be okay? Or do you need to go on a 7, 8, 9-game winning streak at least a couple times throughout the season to make the playoffs?
Well, over the course of the season, if let's just say a series is 3 games, right, because you have some 2s, some 4s, but it's essentially 3 games. If you win 2 out of 3 games, you're going to be probably the best team in baseball. So, yes, that's a perfect philosophy. Obviously, you know, yesterday, like, Suarez was unavailable, right?
Yes.
Because he had pitched several. So that's kind of part of what the bind was there, is Suarez was unavailable. That leads to the blown save. But, hey, they still won the series over a very, very good Royals team who is in playoff position right now. So that's a success. You know, obviously, some people don't want to hear that when you're one inning away from the sweep. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're trying to win series, and you won a series from a good team, and if your closer was available, you probably sweep them. But they needed him to you could probably retrace the steps there, right, and blowing that huge of a lead and having to bring him in. Was it Friday or Saturday?
Friday.
Yeah, if they didn't make it close and have to bring him in Friday, then that's probably what led to not being able to sweep them. But the general philosophy, yes, I totally agree with. It's just take series, just take series. It's not like in the NFL where you can't think like that and you have to try to win every single game. And by no means do you ever throw games or not worry about winning. You try to win every game. But when you lose a tough one like that, I do think that it's important for the authority figure, the manager, to say, hey, we should have won that game. It sucks that we lost it, but we won the series, and that's the most important thing. So, yes, I'm with him on that.
Matt Snyder from CBS Sports is our guest. We've killed this whole 2 out of 3 thing pretty much for 45 straight minutes. I want to go somewhere else today, Matt, because it was a bigger thing here in town. Unfortunately, you're in a national situation, but Schilt basically, you know, got upset with a writer, you know, basically insinuating that they should, you know, be getting a sweep here once in a while. The Padres are one of the teams that don't have a sweep. And Schilt said, we should be focusing on the fact that we win all these series. And so that's where the disconnect was.
Well,
anyway.
I mean, they took 3 of 4 in Atlanta. That's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
They won before yesterday. They'd won 5 out of 6. That's a pretty good streak. When you're stringing stuff together like that, I don't know if you'd necessarily have to sweep, but you know what? Going to Anaheim right now, the Angels are ripe for a sweeping. So go get that sweep and put the conversation to bed.
Yeah, let's see if that happens. All right, let's go to the Phillies and the Yankees, the two runaway teams in baseball right now. I mean, the Yankees, my goodness, they just basically pillaged San Francisco this weekend. I mean, with Judge on Friday night and Soto yesterday and the slugging that they did. The Phillies have been running away all year. The Braves have Acuña out. Doesn't look like they'll be able to keep pace. I mean, right now, these two teams are far and above, it seems like, Matt. I mean, the Dodgers are not quite, you know, hit their stride yet. Who do you like better here, or is it unfair to choose between the two?
It is tough, isn't it? maybe the Yankees. Gosh, the Phillies' rotation is so good, though. And the way that they've worked out their bullpen, and that Trey Turner's been hurt for a little bit. You have to give a lot of – they're both so, so good right now. And the Phillies have been late finishers, right? Like, slow starters each of these last 2 years, and then they made deep runs in the playoffs. So kind of scary to think about if you're in the Braves seat right now, especially when they have Strider and Acuna down for the rest of the year. Isn't it fun when baseball's unpredictable? Heading into the year, the Braves and the Dodgers were the two teams with the most negative side odds to win their division, because it was so, everybody was so sure that they were definitely going to win their division, and now the Braves are.
Yeah.
And the Yankees traded all their starting pitching depth for Juan Soto, and then Gerrit Cole got hurt in spring training. And I might have even said on this show, I know I said it multiple places, where I said he might be the most valuable player in baseball to his team, because they cannot afford to lose an innings-eating ace like Gerrit Cole. Well, I look like an idiot now, because they've gotten – Luis Teal has been unbelievable. Marcus Stroman's been really good. Clark Schmidt has been great. Now he's hurt, but with Cole starting his rehab assignment tomorrow, they're only going to have to do a patchwork rotation in that spot for a couple weeks, and then they're going to get Cole back. They have the best record in baseball, and they've done it without their Cy Young winner. It's been an unbelievable start, and Aaron Judge was awful for the first 3 weeks of the season, but now with Judge and Soto firing in all cylinders, that's an absolutely scary lineup, especially with Volpe having a breakout season in front of them. So you have Volpe getting on base a ton, then you have Soto and Judge. Man, that is just a scary lineup to have to face from the top.
That is 100%. We just saw it in San Diego 2 weekends ago, and they were just mashing home runs on that Friday night against Yu Darvish. We're talking to Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com here on 97.3 The Fan. I want to ask you about Blake Snell. He's going on the IL for the second time, and I saw kind of an interesting debate amongst fans on X about this, whether or not it's Scott Boras's fault or if it's Blake Snell's fault for waiting so much time to sign and not having a spring training.
Yeah.
Now, Blake Snell, he's barely even pitched this year. He's getting paid a lot of money to do that. Where do you kind of fall on that whole argument?
Boras has a hand in this. He does. Look, at the end of the day, the agent works for the players. And if someone like Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery goes to Boras and says, you absolutely have to have me a deal before spring training, then he needs to get that done. Obviously, they were involved in the process and weren't pushing for it from that perspective. So you have to say the player has to shoulder some of the blame too. Then again, Boras is also advising them. And if they say, I want to sign by spring training, he can push back and say, I can get you a lot more if we just wait. There's going to be injuries in spring training. Let's sit this out. Then maybe they listen to him. I thought that I have long actually defended Boras. I have been a defender of his, not necessarily the manner in which he goes about it, but he usually wins. This offseason, he lost in a big way. And it's not just Snell. It was Jordan Montgomery. It was Cody Bellinger. It was probably Matt Chapman. It just didn't work. And he took them all the way deep into spring training. They all started slow. Montgomery and Snell have both been hurt. Any pitchers, you got to get them into spring training. Maybe he'll learn from it, but, you know, guys with huge egos don't always learn from their mistakes. So I want to hold my breath on that.
Matt Snyder of CBS Sports. Love talking baseball with him. Matt, just flipping around to the other side. We're starting to get, you know, into June now, so I start wondering about our managers out there. Is anybody in any difficulty around baseball? I think about my old friend Bud Black and wonder if it wouldn't be the worst thing ever. Although, you know, they actually had a winning month last month. They should double his salary for that. But is there anybody in difficulty? I mean, Ron Washington is new, but, I mean, it
first
hasn't gone
year,
his
Trout
well.
Hurt.
Yeah, right, hasn't gone his way. Is there anybody in trouble?
I thought Skip Shoemaker might have been at the start of the year, because not only do the Marlins have a completely different front office than the one that hired him, but there was some controversy with his option for next season. Like, a lot of people thought the option got picked up, and then reports came out like, no, they did not pick up the option. They definitely did not pick up the option. Like, the front office was floating just to make sure everybody knew, no, he's a lame duck manager right now. And they got off to such a terrible start. I thought, you know, it's a new front office. This is not their manager. Surely they're going to fire him. It seems like he weathered the storm. Gosh, Mets, that's a first year. Blue Jays just came out and said he's safe. White Sox, I don't think they would do Grifol. It's not really his fault. David Bell with the Reds had such – they had such a disappointing start, but they're starting to play good baseball. I don't know. I mean, we might make it. It doesn't really look like anybody –
please, Matt, we got to find somebody to fire.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, Astros is a terrible start, but it's his first year replacing a legend in Dusty. So Diamondbacks is disappointing, but Torrey Lovello just went to the World Series, and they kept him through a rebuild.
Right.
So he's there for the haul. So, yeah, I'm not really seeing anything jump out at all now that Shoemaker kind of weathered the storm.
Think you're right. All right. Well, we'll be happy for everybody out there. We're happy to have you on. Thanks for talking to us, as always. And look forward to getting Tony back hooked up for the next visit. And we look forward to that next visit. Thanks, as always, for joining us.
All right. Take care, guys.
Matt, take care. Matt Snyder from CBS Sports right there. Talking a little baseball.
Baseball.
All right, Tony Gwynn Jr. is apparently at the
stadium.
That doesn't mean we can get him hooked up because this Wi-Fi situation.
Oh, I think we're okay with that now.
All right.
So whenever he gets there.
All right. We'll hear from Tony. Tony will probably, we'll chime in on whether we should be upset that we didn't get a sweep or happy with 2 out of 3. We'll put that to Mr. Gwynn when Gwynn and Chris continue. Hey, coming up on the program, I'm going to let you know about some tickets that we're going to give away. This reads a little boxed up here, I got to tell you, Scrabe.
Which one?
Well, I thought we were going to be giving some tickets away to the fair, but...
We are. It's in...
That's a different read.
It's for Chris versus the fans.
I see.
Yes.
So right now I'm just mentioning the fact that this hour is brought to you by the fair.
Yes.
The San Diego County Fair.
Correct.
Where they're going to go retro. Opening June 12th, the Magic of the Midway live concerts feature the Kings of Late Night, Jay Leno, Craig Ferguson, who I think's funny, and Arsenio Hall. Woo, woo, woo. All performing live June 21st. Day before my birthday. Get your tickets now at sdfair.com. Let's go retro. Welcome back, Crisello. Tony Gwynn Jr. still trying to figure out a way to get on the air. Not his fault.
No.
Weak internet.
What would we
Weak
do?
Weak Wi-Fi in Anaheim, California.
Very Anaheim.
Killing
Very
us.
Very Anaheim.
So we're left to interview our friend Matt Snyder from CBS Sports. Without TG today... But I must say, it's always a great pleasure to have Matt Snyder on. I think he's one of the most knowledgeable, but also one of the most enjoyable guys to talk baseball with. And he's nice enough to join us throughout the season. Matt, how are you today, sir?
Well, I'm a lot better now after that just very flattering intro.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Matt, I don't know. I'll start with this. I mean, the Padres are getting in the they're in the crosshairs. All of a sudden, this betting thing comes up again. Not the Padres' fault. Tuca Pietermarcano, apparently in Pittsburgh last year. I know nobody really likes to talk about this. The thing is that worries me is it's kind of happening a little bit too much for my comfort level. You know, I mean, you have Fletcher with the Angels. Pete Rose was way back when, but Otani's story, not that he was involved, but again, it still had gambling implications. And again, baseball, just like the rest of the big sports, you know, has all of these betting websites, you know, representing, et cetera. So when do people get a little worried about this, or should they be worried now?
I think it's interesting. I interviewed one of the Major League Baseball executives who's in charge of the gambling operation, and he said we always stay worried, like just to make sure that they're staying on top of it. And I think that has to be kind of the mindset from that point of view. But like a fan point of view, honestly, for me, not really yet. David Fletcher was in the minors. This case is a player was injured, although it is he bet on his own team. Hopefully at least bet on him to win. But he was injured. So it's not like we still haven't had a game-fixing type thing. I mean, with Ohtani's interpreter, it was not even on baseball at all. And have the rules in place that you're not allowed to bet on baseball at all at any level, or softball at any level. It's no diamond sports is the rule. So here's my hope, and some people have already called me naive on this, and that's okay. I don't care. But again, call me naive.
We just call you fun to talk to, so yes. Don't worry about us.
Yeah, I'll take that. My thought is between Fletcher and in this case that we just saw today, if any players are doing anything or thinking about doing anything, they'll see that and say, look, this is a 24-year-old who's going to be banned for baseball for life. This is just not worth it. And they have access to a lot more riches playing in the game than they would be gambling and trying to win money betting on games. So that's my hope upon hopes, is that anybody who's thinking about doing it would realize that the downside far, far, far outweighs the upside. Now, obviously, people get caught up in things. There's addiction problems that are going to happen. We're going to hit some potholes here on the road. But it's, for me, similar to when we started testing for PEDs. When a player gets busted for PEDs, it doesn't mean the sky is falling. It means the system's working. And it appears that we're catching guys who are doing stuff.
Interesting. I've never heard it put that way, but that's a good way to put it. We're talking to Matt Snyder here of CBSSports.com. And I'm going to bring it back a little bit local. And the Padres over the weekend had a chance to sweep the Royals. They did not. Yuki Matsui blew the same there yesterday. So they end up taking 2 out of 3. Now, I don't know how much nationally people heard about Mike Schilt and saying that, you know, taking series is very important, and they're doing a good job of taking series. So what is your philosophy? Do you think there's anything behind that, that if you just win series, you'll be okay? Or do you need to go on a 7, 8, 9-game winning streak at least a couple times throughout the season to make the playoffs?
Well, over the course of the season, if let's just say a series is 3 games, right, because you have some 2s, some 4s, but it's essentially 3 games. If you win 2 out of 3 games, you're going to be probably the best team in baseball. So, yes, that's a perfect philosophy. Obviously, you know, yesterday, like, Suarez was unavailable, right?
Yes.
Because he had pitched several. So that's kind of part of what the bind was there, is Suarez was unavailable. That leads to the blown save. But, hey, they still won the series over a very, very good Royals team who is in playoff position right now. So that's a success. You know, obviously, some people don't want to hear that when you're one inning away from the sweep. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're trying to win series, and you won a series from a good team, and if your closer was available, you'd probably sweep them. But they needed him to you could probably retrace the steps there, right, and blowing that huge of a lead and having to bring him in. Was it Friday or Saturday?
Friday.
Yeah, if they didn't make it close and have to bring him in Friday, then that's probably what led to not being able to sweep them. But the general philosophy, yes, I totally agree with. It's just take series. It's not like in the NFL where you can't think like that and you have to try to win every single game. And by no means do you ever throw games or not worry about winning. You try to win every game. But when you lose a tough one like that, I do think that it's important for the authority figure, the manager, to say, hey, we should have won that game. It sucks that we lost it, but we won the series, and that's the most important thing. So, yes, I'm with him on that.
Matt Snyder from CBS Sports is our guest. We've killed this whole 2 out of 3 thing pretty much for 45 straight minutes. I want to go somewhere else today, Matt, because it was a bigger thing here in town. Unfortunately, you're in a national situation, but Schilt basically got upset with a writer, basically insinuating that they should, be getting a sweep here once in a while. The Padres are one of the teams that don't have a sweep. And Schilt said, we should be focusing on the fact that we win all these series. And so that's where the disconnect was.
Well,
anyway.
I mean, they took 3 of 4 in Atlanta. That's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
They won before yesterday. They'd won 5 out of 6. That's a pretty good streak. When you're stringing stuff together like that, I don't know if you necessarily have to sweep, but you know what? Going to Anaheim right now, the Angels are ripe for a sweeping. So go get that sweep and put the conversation in bed.
Yeah, let's see if that happens. All right, let's go to the Phillies and the Yankees, the two runaway teams in baseball right now. I mean, the Yankees, my goodness, they just basically pillaged San Francisco this weekend. I mean, with Judge on Friday night and Soto yesterday and the slugging that they did. The Phillies have been running away all year. The Braves have Acuna out. Doesn't look like they'll be able to keep pace. I mean, right now, these two teams are far and above, it seems like, Matt. I mean, the Dodgers are not quite, you know, hit their stride yet. Who do you like better here, or is it unfair to choose between the two?
It is tough, isn't it? maybe the Yankees. Gosh, the Phillies' rotation is so good, though, and the way that they've worked out their bullpen, and that Trey Turner's been hurt for a little bit. You have to give a lot of. They're both so good right now, and the Phillies have been late finishers, right? Like slow starters each of these last 2 years, and then they made deep runs in the playoffs. So kind of scary to think about if you're in the Braves seat right now, especially when they have Strider and Acuna down for the rest of the year. Isn't it fun when baseball's unpredictable? Heading into the year, the Braves and the Dodgers were the two teams with the worst, the most negative side odds to win their division because it was so everybody was so sure that they were definitely going to win their division, and now the Braves are.
Yeah.
And the Yankees traded all their starting pitching depth for Juan Soto, and then Garrett Cole got hurt in spring training, and I might have even said on this show. I know I said it multiple places where I said he might be the most valuable player in baseball to his team because they cannot afford to lose an innings-eating ace like Garrett Cole. Well, I look like an idiot now because they've gotten – Luis Gil has been unbelievable. Marcus Stroman's been really good. Clark Schmidt has been great. Now he's hurt, but with Cole starting his rehab assignment tomorrow, they're only going to have to do a patchwork rotation in that spot for a couple weeks, and then they're going to get Cole back. They have the best record in baseball. And they've done it without their Cy Young winner. It's been an unbelievable start. And Aaron Judge was awful for the first 3 weeks of the season. But now with Judge and Soto firing in all cylinders, that's an absolutely scary lineup, especially with Volpe having a breakout season in front of them. So you have Volpe getting on base a ton. Then you have Soto and Judge. Man, that is just a scary lineup to have to face from the top.
That is 100%. We just saw it in San Diego 2 weekends ago, and they were just mashing home runs on that Friday night against Yu Darvish. We're talking to Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com here on 97.3 The Fan. I want to ask you about Blake Snell. He's going on the IL for the second time, and I saw kind of an interesting debate amongst fans on X about this, whether or not it's Scott Boras' fault or if it's Blake Snell's fault for waiting so much time to sign and not having a spring training.
Yeah.
Now, Blake Snell is, he's barely even pitched this year. He's getting paid a lot of money to do that. Where do you kind of fall on that whole argument?
Boras has a hand in this. He does. Look, at the end of the day, the agent works for the players. And if someone like Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery goes to Boras and says, you absolutely have to have me a deal before spring training, then he needs to get that done. Obviously, they were involved in the process and weren't pushing for it from that perspective. So you have to say the player has to shoulder some of the blame too. Then again, Boras is also advising them. And if they say, I want to sign by spring training, he can push back and say, I can get you a lot more if we just wait. There's going to be injuries in spring training. Let's sit this out. Then maybe they listen to him. I thought that I have long actually defended Boras. I have been a defender of his, not necessarily the manner in which he goes about it, but he usually wins. This offseason, he lost in a big way. It's not just Snell. It was Jordan Montgomery. It was Cody Bellinger. It was probably Matt Chapman. It just didn't work, and he took them all the way deep into spring training. They all started slow. Montgomery and Snell have both been hurt. Any pitchers, you got to get them into spring training. Maybe he'll learn from it, but, you know, guys with huge egos don't always learn from their mistakes. So I want to hold my breath on that.
Matt Snyder of CBS Sports. Love talking baseball with him. Matt, just flipping around to the other side. We're starting to get, you know, into June now, so I start wondering about our managers out there. Is anybody in any difficulty around baseball? Sometimes I think about my old friend Bud Black and wonder if it wouldn't be the worst thing ever. Although, you know, they actually had a winning month last month.
Which yeah, maybe they should double his,
yeah, they should double his salary for that. But is there anybody in difficulty? I mean, Ron Washington is new, but, I mean, it
first
hasn't
year,
gone his
Trout
well.
Part.
Yeah, right, hasn't gone his
yeah.
way. Is there anybody in trouble?
I thought Skip Schumaker might have been at the start of the year because not only do the Marlins have a completely different front office than the one that hired him, but there was some controversy with his option for next season. Like, a lot of people thought the option got picked up, and then reports came out like, no, they did not pick up the option. They definitely did not pick up the option. Like, the front office was floating just to make sure everybody knew, no, he's a lame duck manager right now. And they got off to such a terrible start. I thought, you know, it's a new front office. This is not their manager. Surely they're going to fire him. It seems like he weathered the storm. So, gosh, Mets, that's a first year. Blue Jays just came out and said he's safe. White Sox, I don't think they would do Grifol. It's not really his fault. David Bell with the Reds had such a disappointing start, but they're starting to play good baseball. I don't know. I mean, we might make it. It doesn't really look like anybody.
Please, Matt, we got to find somebody to fire.
Yeah, I mean, because like Astros is a terrible start, but it's his first year replacing
right.
a legend in
okay.
Dusty. So Diamondbacks is disappointing, but Torii Lavella just went to the World Series, and they kept him through a rebuild.
Right.
So he's there for the haul. So yeah, I'm not really seeing anything jump out at all now that Schumaker kind of weathered the storm.
I think you're right. All right. Well, we'll be happy for everybody out there. We're happy to have you on. Thanks for talking to us, as always. And look forward to getting Tony back hooked up for the next visit. And we look forward to that next visit. Thanks, as always, for joining us.
All right. Take care, guys.
Matt, take care. Matt Snyder from CBS Sports right there. Talking a little baseball.
Baseball.
All right. Tony Gwynn Jr. is apparently at the stadium,
We're trying.
That doesn't mean we can get him hooked up because this Wi-Fi situation.
Oh, I think we're okay with that now.
All right.
So
well,
whenever
we'll
he gets
get.
There.
All right. Well, we'll hear from Tony. Tony will probably, we'll chime in on whether we should be upset that we didn't get a sweep or happy with 2 out of 3. We'll put that to Mr. Gwynn when Gwynn and Chris continues.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.